and welcome to Marooned at Magpie's headquarters, day 117.
It seems like 217 in the last 15 minutes.
Mike's had a bit of a crisis. I've just sat and watched. It's been most cathartic.
After they've... After I stopped the music that they were all enjoying, we got on repeat. Welcome to Brooklyn's 196. So I'm going to play with Lola.
And you can explain. Is that cathartic for you, dear?
Yes.
Oh, Friday. You know, you're winding down, end of the week, it'll be fine. And then Mike proclaims at 6:45, radio station's not working. And then thus ensues 15 minutes of crisis. Never mind. Right, oh, I will explain all that's going on. Lemon angel food cake. Ooh. Sounds fab. Need a picture. CQ Deb, CQ, hello, Jonathan. You love any cake with lemon in it? Madeira was one of my favourites, must admit. Where's the music coming from? Well... The thing was that's what happened. We actually have, believe it or not, three radio stations. We have Magpie's FM, we have Brooklyn's, and we have a backup. Now, this is because we were on system number one. And it was, I mean, it worked, but it was a nightmare to manage. So we moved to system number two, improved system number two. Thing is, it's actually in beta. So obviously it's almost gold mastered, but it's officially still in beta. So I look after Magpie's and Mike looks after Brooklyn's. So this system came in and we both immediately jumped on the beta. There was only a certain number of licenses. So you were either in or you were out. I think globally there were 40 licenses. So the two of us dived in very quick. I much preferred the new system. It was way easier to manage. So, after we'd all configured it, set it up, etc., we cancelled the other one for Magpie's and carried on with the new one. And that's when we got the new player and we're live now and all the rest of that. And it was great. But with it being in beta, every now and then they take it down and do some updates. So that manifests itself as two particular problems. One, they just randomly, I mean, there's some logic to it on their part, I suppose, but randomly seem to change the code you need to embed the player. And they don't tell you, and you pretty much have to guess what the syntax is today. That's bad enough. Today's little saga was it was actually down. So the entire server for everybody, every radio station that was running on the, I think it's called AzuraCast system, was down. So I said, well, that's fine. Because what we did on Brooklyn's was Mike tested it all and said, yep, that's a good way to go. But he had all the content for Brooklyn's uploaded to the first system. And I think we've been doing it for about, I think the new system's been there about 5 months now. Mike's still in the process of switching over. So Brooklyn's actually runs on system number one. And he has his new system that he's still setting up. Of course, when there's a calamity like this, it means we can just hijack the Brooklyn's feed and carry on as normal. Now, we are actually, right now, broadcasting to both Magpie's and Brooklyn's. So hello to all the Brooklyn's listeners who could well have tuned in at 7 o'clock to hear the Brooklyn's news. Yeah. Never mind, be on at 8. So that's what happened. That's what happened. There would be a way to split the broadcast if Mike had configured the other system and depending on what the issue actually was. But right now, that's what we've done. So we are with you. Do you know, we've not done bad, have we? I mean, it's 117 shows today, and I think this is only the second calamity. The first calamity, as I recall it, was when the internet went down unceremoniously, and we had to switch to my phone mid-show. So two totally different problems. We have had to do what we're doing now before, but at least Mike checked it at, like just before 1:45. Rather than, I'm a bit laid back. It's like 20 seconds to go. And he says, are you ready? And I'm like, yeah, just a minute. And then that's the point. I actually opened the broadcast software and stuff. But he was 15 minutes ahead. Here's to the next 117. Well, the way it's going, Jonathan, funny you should say that. I actually looked at my calendar today. I've also had hideous problems with that. Been a bit of a week, actually. Amazing I've been so productive considering the week I've had. I use Mailplane, as we all know. It's basically just a wrapper for Google. And the calendar was working in a browser, but it wasn't working in Mailplane. No matter what I did with it, Mailplane was up to date. It could log in. It wasn't that. There was no issues on the server side. So that carried on for about a day or so when I thought, oh, I'm going to have to reset it all. Anyway, I did, and it was fine. So I went in and I had a look and I thought, we're actually only what Mike and I would refer to, we know what we mean, as marooned up until Sunday, which is 119. So obviously we had a swifty look at next week and made a decision. And Mike said, well, I've got something I can't avoid on Monday. No, not the football. He's managed to triple book himself between 7 and 10, actually, on Monday. So he said, I can't do Monday and I can't do Tuesday and I can only do half of Thursday. So you'd have to carry the weight of the show. So I considered it and I said, yeah, let's do it. Because we don't know about you guys, but we're still marooned. People are going out. They're having haircuts and things. But so on the one hand, you've got the stories about, oh, I'm going to the pub and I've booked in the restaurant and I'm having my hair done. I'm having my nails done on Monday. And I'm like, And then I look at the news and the two top stories on the news where the R rate's now over one. Genius. I didn't take a genius to work that out. And there was a whole other calamity as well. The World Health Organization says things are not getting better. They're getting a heck of a lot worse. And we should all knuckle down. In the meanwhile, British government, oh, go on holiday and then come back. No quarantine, no problem. So I'm still not leaving the house. Let me know where you guys are at with that. But at the moment, we've looked at it and decided we can do another week of marooned because we are still marooned at MacBites headquarters. We still have food deliveries to deal with. In fact, that got funny, but I've got images of that, so that's later. And Lola's still enjoying the garden. So that's where we're at with it. So yes, where would 117 take us to, Jonathan? Let's have a look. 117 days from today. And what would Google have to say? Brace yourself, Jonathan. The 4th of November. That's just scary. But I do remember you mentioning, what would we ever get, like over 100? And it seemed ludicrous, didn't it? We were like 8 days in and it was all going to be over in the fortnight. But it's certainly not getting any better here. It's getting worse. But people don't seem to care. And I can't understand that. If they're not concerned about themselves, you would think they would be concerned about other people, but apparently not. All they care about is having their nails done. Oh, good grief. We've now got a picture of Boris in a shop and they are now mandatory face masks in England shops are being considered because Scotland have done it. So although they're letting you out, they're also increasing the steps they want you to take. Words fail me. Right. Jonathan's happy about that. Best part of lockdown's been marooned. That's good to hear, Jonathan. Yes, Deb, you are macarooners. And Kim's going to still be here next summer. Oh, Kim. But hopefully you'll get to go swimming by then. The swimming baths are supposed to be opening here. I'm not sure what you can do to socially isolate in water. I guess it'll be bleached up to glory, but I don't know. I've no idea. I was the one who always had to cry off if there was swimming because I loathed it. I was at a mixed school at the time and I absolutely loathed it. The boys were just lethal. Should have been mandatory in shops from day one. They should. words fail me to the point. It's like that everything the government have said, they have since changed their minds on. And nobody seems to be saying anything. Or if they are, it's people like us talking to each other. And the press aren't putting that point of it across. There's one story on here, just one, which makes logical sense to me, which the headline is, "Most Britons still uncomfortable eating out." Well, duh. Obviously. I mean, not to get graphic if you are eating, and if you are, I do apologise. I've not got any... I've never experienced this personally myself from a behind-the-scenes perspective, so I don't know how common it is. But I have heard kind of anecdotal tales of being in a restaurant and somebody in the kitchen or one of the serving staff will spit in the food. So I'm definitely not doing takeaway. I'm not doing eating out. I am not doing anything like that yet. So we'll see how it goes. But I look at the stories and I think, mandatory face masks. Aren't we 4 months late with that? Just saying. Now, maybe at the time it was because they didn't have enough face masks to go around. But when you look at the other thing that's been going on this week, and there are just no words for this, and I'm pretty sure everybody will have heard about it, even though it's in a UK court. There is the Johnny Depp and Amber something heard fiasco. And they're wandering around with face coverings on. They look a little bit like bandits, I'll grant you. They're more like scarves. There are no words for what's going on in that case. Let me know if you've heard about it. Just too much, seriously, too much. So that was my update on where we're at with COVID. Yeah, it's not good. But all of a sudden, the R rate doesn't matter. It mattered dreadfully 2.5 months ago. It doesn't matter at all now. Let's see how it goes. So at Deb's gym... Oh, hang on. Kim, you can only swim by appointment. So I'm assuming they're limiting the numbers then. But when I say social distancing, like there was a thing came out in the UK that said it might be airborne. And I'm thinking, what do you mean, might? That they were saying before it had to be kind of projected with a cough. But now it might... You might just be able to catch it because it's in the air. This is where science has got a problem, because science today, when you say, like, trust the science, okay, I trust the science. But the science on day one was saying this, and on day 10 they were saying something else, and on day 20 they're saying something else. And now they're saying that it all might have been completely wrong, and maybe you can just catch it in the air. So take everything with a pinch of salt and do what you think feels safe is the best thing there. But in water... Although you can physically distance, it's in, you're in the water and they're in the water. It feels a bit dodgy, but that could just be me. I'm not fond of swimming anyway. And at Deb's gym, only one person per lane, which is as it always should have been. You have to have an appointment and you're not allowed because you're a senior. That's not on. I mean, it's either safe or it's not. I talked about those... rigid plastic sheets that they'd put in, which kind of made sense to me. I've since seen footage of some gyms. There's nothing but tape on the floor. They've basically just put a taped square on the floor and you're supposed to stand in it. I think that was it kettlebells? But, you know, running machines, what are you going to do? Like, not use them all, every other one? It seems odd. You don't see how gyms can be made safe with all that breathing. Me neither. Oh, Paul, you're very brave, doing takeaway most of the time. I love Chinese, but we've not had one. Not had one. Because they were closed to start with. Then they were open, but they were only open for delivery, I think. Don't think you could go in and collect. Our favourite Chinese, I don't think it does delivery. So we've not had, it's all been home cooked stuff for months and months and months. Mandatory face masks, you're all for that. That's causing a bit of a stink though, isn't it, in America? We got a video about just under a week ago. And it was a lady, I think it was in Houston, but don't quote me. And I didn't watch the video because I just couldn't take any more. It was one of these days I was in a good mood. And I thought, yeah, I don't need to see that. It's going to put me in a bad mood. But it was a crew from Sky News who had gone out there. They were all in face masks and everything. And they wanted to interview people about the fact that the R was rising over there. And this woman came out and was completely in their face. And she was cursing and going on and saying that they were idiots to wear face masks and there was no need for it. And it was her right not to wear a face mask. And it was a very, very hot day and they wouldn't be able to breathe properly in these face masks. And if they collapsed, she wasn't going to help them. And I thought, love of your fellow man. So I left it alone. But it seems a bit... I wouldn't say we're quite as fragmented over here. There are people who would choose not to wear a mask, but it's quite a kind of like bravado thing. I don't need no stinking mask. And everyone else is just like, I'm going nowhere near them. It seems less of an issue than it is in the States. Right. So Kim says, you've been wearing a face mask and gloves. Get go lucky to have six on hand. True. We haven't because we literally haven't gone anywhere. Mike doesn't wear a face mask when he's walking the dog. Neither do I. But you're going nowhere near anybody. I mean, this two metre rule, yeah, more like 50. If I see anybody, I'm gone. So Kim says, for sure airborne dentists have been talking about that from the beginning. Exactly. I think it's now just... We didn't have enough PPE for personal people. So it all had to go to those who needed it, which I have absolutely no problem with. Oh, chicken. Hello, chicken.
You know, green dragon.
Oh, what's she done with it?
It's ripped in half.
We now have two green dragons.
Yes.
They're just smaller. How many feet have they got between them? Because the one had three.
Three.
Oh, there's still 3 feet there.
Yes.
Dentists, I feel, have got one of the most difficult jobs. I mean, being a doctor's bad enough, but with a dentist, you know, with a doctor, it could be like something with your big toe. With a dentist, no, it's not. I had a dental appointment scheduled for the end of June. Don't ask me what day it was. I have no idea. This is what normally happens. I go in every 3 months, so... Every 3 months I have a hygienist appointment and alternate visits I see the dentist. So the last time I went was the 6th of March and I did both. And when I came to leave, they gave me, I think it was 2 appointments. One was my hygienist appointment for the end of June. June. Yeah, I think it was a week early. And chicken off again. And I think there was also one for September. Now, they give it to you on this little printed, like, receipt thing. It's a bit like a ticket that you would get on a train. And I just popped it in my bag. And that was the last time I left the house. So it's still in my bag somewhere. I didn't bother getting it out at that point and putting it on my calendar. Because a week before the appointment, they always send me a text message. And that's the point I probably think, oh, yeah, I need to put that on the calendar. So I didn't put these appointments on the calendar. I just had a vague recollection. It was the back end of June. And I never got the text message. So I think I have had a couple of emails and the emails have been to the point of we are terribly behind. Now, given the fact that my practice is specialist in implants and advanced dentistry, I can only imagine the mess that was caused when they literally had to shut down one day because people must have been mid-treatment that just can't wait. I have no idea what happened with that. I'm thinking back to when I had mine done and you literally had a window of like 24 hours to get the stitches out or 48 hours to do another bit. And it had to be within that window. They were very, very careful about that. What if you were in the middle of it and then you couldn't go in? I mean, surely they have got to deal with that. I would have thought that is what would have happened. But I then read a story, and this was like a good 3 months later. So after they'd been closed for at least 3 months, there was a lad who had braces on. And they must have been the kind that are actually cemented on round the front of the teeth, all the way across the top. And he was due to have these braces taken off. And he couldn't go in and have them taken off. So I thought, well, there's no great crisis with that, surely. You know, they're there to keep his teeth straight, aren't they? But what happened was, I don't know if it was a direct result of them being on longer than they should have been, but basically it pulled a tooth out. So he now needed way more work than he did before. And I just thought they would be able to deal with that. But apparently they weren't allowed to. So anybody who was in the middle of implants, I really don't know what state they're in now.
Why don't we move that up there?
So you're saying maybe a protester who didn't think they needed them or didn't get it spread out, those protesters have been rioting. That's what I'm saying. We did have a little bit of that here, but not that much. Just not that much.
Good girl.
Oh, Jonathan. You're glad he retired. Absolutely. Most dentists are, I believe. It's a bit strange. It's certainly changed since I was a lot younger. Mine is self-employed and he works in other practices as well because they have specialisations in what they do and move from practice to practice. I just hope they've got insurance for these kind of things, but whether they'd pay out or not, I don't know. So far, no known spread of COVID at the dentist. That is very, very true, Kim.
I had braces.
I didn't. My teeth would never have taken it. My teeth were actually fine in terms of being straight and in the right place, etc. Well, they were until they decided that they were just going to self-combust. But no, I didn't have to worry about that. Braces have a lot of force and overcorrection is common. Oh, ouch. Ouch. My friend had braces and I always thought it was a little bit weird. Did yours come out?
Yeah.
Yeah, that my friend had a set of braces. They looked like the pink part of a pair of false
teeth. Yeah, that's what I had.
And there was wire on them.
Yeah.
And they were constantly being adjusted.
And it came with a little key, the type of thing that you put in your iPhone when you want to get the SIM out.
No, you see, this is all news to me.
And on the back, your back teeth, there was two little holes. And you would get this little key thing. And you would turn it to tighten it or loosen it.
Yeah, trust me, that wasn't happening. They wouldn't have let me loose with that. But my friend did have...
I had a night brace as well.
Yeah, I think she had a night brace.
And what that did, it was like a band.
Yeah, that came out of your mouth.
Came out of your mouth.
Round your head.
So again, it had two prongs in it that fitted in the holes. The holes where your iPhone SIM remover key goes. See, we're 30 years ahead of our time here. And then it was a band, and it made you look like something out of...
A sci-fi
movie.
Well, my friend did have appalling teeth, and I don't know whether it was anything that a brace was ever going to do any good with. You know when somebody... Now, actually, I was incredibly lucky, and so was my mum, because they ran in my granddad's family. They were known as the Monday Teeth. My granddad's surname was Monday, as in M-U-N. The day, but M-U-N. And they were known as the Monday Teeth. And Mum didn't get them and I didn't get them, but my auntie did. There was nothing particularly wrong with them apart from the size and the shape. And my auntie said, now this would have been, let me think, when was she born? She was 21 when she had it done, so it would have been about 1962. Now, they probably wouldn't do this now, Kim, so brace yourself, if you'll pardon the pun.
Brace yourself.
I know. Bum. But seriously, she got to 21 and she hated these teeth. She said they were just too big. They were like horse teeth. Now, I know now you can do something about that, can't you? But obviously back then you couldn't. And she just wanted, she said, like to look normal. So she had all her teeth taken out. There was absolutely nothing wrong with them. Apart from the fact she felt they were too big and she had the whole lot removed and then lived with false teeth forever and ever, amen. Ooh, that terrified me. I was going to hang on to my teeth as long as I possibly could. I thought the day would come, to be honest, but I hung on that long that implants came along. She could definitely, I don't know now if she could go for retained implants. But it would be an option if she was having them taken out at this point. But my friend had the same kind of teeth. And I thought, is it the really much point in putting a brace on something that is just too big? But maybe there is. What do I know? At the time, hadn't seen a dentist in years and had no desire to return to one. I hope my dentist does manage to see through this COVID malarkey, because I would have no desire for another one either. When you just tame the last one. I need someone who listens. There aren't many that listen.
If you look at that picture that I've sent, mine was like that, apart from the fact that instead of it being a wire, which looks incredibly uncomfortable if you were to sleep on it, it was an elastic strip.
That reminds me, because we talked about Johnny Depp before. look up Johnny Depp, Willy Wonka teeth. Because I'm sure that film was awful. Oh, the Gene Doudar one was much better. What was his name?
Wilder.
Gene Wilder, he was fantastic. There should be a picture of him as a kid. Try young Willy Wonka rather than Johnny Depp, because it wasn't Johnny Depp, it was another actor. But Johnny Depp did play Willy Wonka.
Yeah. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was why he built up a sweet factory, according to the second one, which obviously wasn't in the book, but never mind. Oh, dear. Right. Sounds like Mike had headgear. It would just freak me out, that absolutely would.
Yeah, Anthony, that was what I wore at night. It's called a night brace.
According to the BDA, and the majority of dentists and general practice workers, self-employed associates, the relationship between associates and practice owners centres on the...
Oh, Paul had a night brace as well.
Associate making regular, usually monthly payments to the practice in return for the use... Yeah, that makes total sense. I do know the guy, there is a dentist there who owns the practice. I don't actually tend to see him. He smiles broadly when he sees me. Probably made him a fortune. But I have never seen him. I was offered the opportunity when my implant decided to deattach itself from the metalwork. But I decided that I'd wait until Craig came back from holiday, which was about 10 days later. So when I gets in, he said, "When did it come off?" I said, the first day you went on holiday. Don't do that again. And he said, "This is going to pinch when it goes back on." And I said, "I know it will." Because it had been off like 10 days. So I said, "This is why we must coincide." But touching wood, he made it a retained crown after that. He did his own chair side refit, put a hole through the top, and then did magic with the screw work. And it's been fine ever since. This was because it started life as a bridge, and then when it was refitted, that's a long story, it came back not as a bridge that was attached to two implants. It came back as two separate teeth attached to two separate implants, which were obviously very, very tight, which meant it was very difficult to get between them, and the back one just seemed to like coming off every now and then. But it's all sorted now. So I don't often see... I see him about, but I don't see him more than that. But it must cost an absolute fortune. Because not only have you got the actual building and the staff and the equipment that you think of, but you've also got the equipment like they have their own head scanners and stuff that must cost millions. And I know he works at least four practices, but he lives nearest to that one. So I think he's always in on a Friday because he lives nearest to it. You would refuse to pull a perfectly good tooth. She had the entire lot taken out. Don't think there was anything wrong with any of them, apart from the shape. They're not... It's really weird in this country, Kim. There's a kind of mentality that teeth are optional. I know that sounds ridiculous, but do you remember when you had your accident with yours?
Yeah.
Did it split, or was it...
I think it did, didn't it? Yeah, just cracked.
It cracked.
Yeah.
So he goes in, and the dentist was like, "Okay, well, these are your options." And I'd said to Mike, looking at it, "Well, you'll need a crown." Problem solved. And he said, well, yes, a crown's an option. And then he gave her, laid out these other options. And he said, if you want to keep the tooth. And I'm like, it's a perfectly good tooth that's just like, I don't know, you would say cracked or... I mean, if it had done what mine did, which was just commit hari-kari and split clean down the middle, I don't think you could have done much with it. But it was beyond a filling. But what's this if you want to keep the tooth? As opposed to what? Having a hole? It just made no sense. And it was because the price of a crown was about £600. But what's the price of not having a tooth? I mean, my aunt, she would be about... she'd be about 80 now, wouldn't she? But from being about 35, when you don't have teeth, when you've just got gums, your face kind of shrinks a bit and you get a bit more wrinkly than you would do if there were teeth there. And she hated that. And I thought, well, you know, it was your choice and you take them out at night, so it's not totally surprising, is it? I can't understand a mentality of if you want to keep the tooth. But there again, you know, when people realised how much dental work I was having and how much it was costing, they were like, "Who? Why would you pay for that? You just live without." And I thought, would you really? And all they seem to want to do is spend money on holidays, cars and drink. And they were absolutely horrified. I mean, all told, it probably came to about 16,000.
Yeah.
Something like that. But, you know, the alternative didn't bear thinking about, but they seemed to be fine. So Deb said she had what's termed buck teeth and a space between. Bobby's great grand aunt gave me braces as a wedding gift. Oh, how sweet. Those things do look horribly uncomfortable for nighttime use, Mike, Paul. Yeah. Wonder you ever got any... Was it that uncomfortable? Did it dig in the night? Or did you like wake up with it?
I think I did.
Because I'm sure I would have done.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. $100,000 to set it up. Ooh, they need to spread that cost. You've got braces instead of a diamond for the wedding band. She was a very bright lady. Yeah, they weren't taking that. Anthony, I'm loving that analogy. People would look at you like you were card-carrying insane if they said that to you. But a dentist feels they have to say it as though people would actually say no, thank you. I can't understand it. I can understand somebody who's got more issues. So there was a lady at church and I got talking to her and she was very, very nervous to start with. And then she had this nasty run-in with a dentist. So she was having pain in this tooth. It was like a jingling nerve. I think it may have needed a filling, but I think even after it had a filling, it was still jangly. And I recommended this herbal stuff called Plantago, which is hideous to look at. It's even more hideous to drink. But I had exactly the same problem that she did. It was with a back tooth, and a back tooth, you know, when you've got pain in a back tooth, you know it. I literally could not take a sip of water without it jarring like it would if you'd bitten into an ice cream. And it was that kind of jarring pain that kind of shot up by your ear into your head. It's horrible. And I'd sat and I'd had a chat with him and he said, well, we could put an implant in, but, you know, it's a heck of an expense. You could potentially do without that one. It's one at the back. Or we could wait and see how it goes. It might settle down. And I thought, it's not settling down right now. And it'd been like this for like months. And I did my usual with my homeopathy and my herbal, and I decided on herbal for this one. And I thought, well, I'll try it. Oh, my word. It was like magic stuff. A little bit like tooth tincture when you put it on. But the tooth tincture wears off. And this stuff is brown. And I mean brown. Luckily, the tooth at the back, you weren't going to see the colour of it. So I started rubbing it on the tooth. I think, and I was drinking it as well. So you infuse it into water and then drink it. And I think I did that for about 3 weeks and the pain totally disappeared. So much so that when I went in and he said, how are we doing with the back one? You know, do you need something for it, etc. I said, no, it's fine now. He went, what? It can't be fine. I said, no, it's fine now. So I recommended it to this lady and hers was fine as well. But the trouble she was having, the age she was, the fact that she couldn't lie down to have the treatment, you know, I could have understood if they'd have said, like, oh, let's just take it out. But not when you're young enough to particularly need them. It's a ridiculous thing to say. I think they feel the need so you don't feel pressured into expensive treatment. But yeah, maybe A&E could take that approach, Anthony, and save a fortune. Oh dear. Oppertory, the little room where the chair sits. The scary bit, you mean, Kim? How many's mine got? One, two, three. There's four downstairs. I think there's about another four upstairs. So that would be eight. But they've also got upstairs a full operating suite. So there is a chair in it, but it's bigger than the other ones. I would expect that there would need to be more equipment in there. The light looks the same. I think the chair is bigger somehow. Because you're in it for like 2.5 hours. It just looks bigger somehow. And the room definitely is bigger. So there are more, must be more equipment in there. For a start, there's the actual drill that drills into your jaw for implants. So I'm presuming that's not in every one. They do sometimes share stuff because Craig's always saying, where's such and such? And it'll be, oh, that's in so-and-so's room. And then they'll have to go and get it. But, you know, you're still looking, like you're saying, upwards of like a million. Wow. £70 a piece to clean your teeth. Are they cleaning those at the moment, Kim, or are they just replacing them? Because if they're replacing them, what you're paying for a hygienist appointment wouldn't even cover that. Everything is just so expensive, isn't it? I know when he's talking about things that he's got, sometimes sales folk visit and leave like freebies behind and they do actually get used. Now we can see why at this price. First time I went, there was somebody there from the company who actually made the implants. What was the company called?
Can't remember.
I can remember the woman's name. It'll come to me. But she was actually there. So I didn't think that kind of thing would need much in the way of selling, because a sales agent going out and saying, you know, this is what we've got now, that's fine. The dentist can buy as many as you like, but they won't buy as many as you like because surely they're being bought to fulfill a need rather than somebody overselling. I remember the sterilizer when I was a kid. You used to see it. It was like a bit bigger than a toaster, but square. And they'd lift the lid and they'd be like, what looked like a deep fat fryer thing. That you'd be like, pull it up and all of the instruments would go in it and then it would go down into the water and it would bubble away with itself. So you actually used to see that happening. Now, I was a child, so I was about 4 or 5. And it was just one more thing to be absolutely terrified of. But I certainly don't see that now. I'm thinking about what's in the room. Very little, to be honest. Very little. I remember when he took bits out. And he had bits of tooth lined up. And there was me with like, I want to see. Now that they're the size of a small microwave. And I would have no idea where they've got that. Would it always be on site, Kim? Does anybody send the stuff away? And I think doctor's surgeries many years ago used to send them away. Oh, Deb, that's so lovely. I was teased at school without mercy. So I totally understand that. My teeth were the most hideous colour, sort of mahogany brown, tinged with a greeny orange. I will dig out a photo. They were that bad. There was one photo where I was smiling, and that was it. Never after that. And then they would break. So I totally understand that. Braces was the greatest gift someone could give you. Lovely. I was at a point where I was like, there were two huge problems. One, I had to wait. Even if I'd have had all the money on the planet, the technology wasn't there. So I had to wait. I did have veneers when I was 25, 26, 25, I think. But the technology really wasn't there. They didn't look bad as long as you didn't take a long look at them. They were okay, you know, but they were better than what I'd had, but they weren't fantastic. And then it was just a case of waiting and waiting. But at the point that people started talking about implants being a viable option, then you're looking at the cost and you're thinking, ouch. So at that point, I'm like, okay, so I've got two problems now. Well, I started with three problems. One, it wasn't technically available. Two, I didn't have the money even if it was. And three, I was petrified. Once it became technically possible, that left me with two what I would consider to be insurmountable problems. One, paying for it, and two, actually being able to get through the door. I then reached a point where I could have paid for it. That left the last insurmountable problem, which was actually getting through the door. And I'm a great believer in fate. You know, it'll work out when it's supposed to work out. And when I got this hideous, oh, the pain was indescribable, abscess. I'd had pain before, I'd had abscesses before, I'd lost teeth before, and I'd just taken some painkillers and carried on. But this time, no. There was no way. I knew it was way more serious than that, and I had no option and I had to go. But it all worked out. So I totally get where you're coming from. Totally. They're all on site there. I'm guessing they are at mine, but just that you don't see them. So there must be yet another room. It started out as a house, this thing, and it was converted, and then it was like a semi-detached. And they went into the next one. Then they had an extension at the back, and now they've had an extension upstairs. So pretty much it's like quadrupled in size. But it's beautiful on the inside. There were some photographs of how it was when they started, and I realised what made a massive difference to me. And it was the reception. The old reception, when it very first opened as a dental practice, was an archetypical dental practice. You could have looked at it with half an eye for half a second, and it'd have been, there, that's a dental practice. And I realised when you walk into it now, you would be thinking, this is just a very nice, light, bright room. Oh, it's a dental practice. It's incidental to how it looks, but back then, no. And I realised then that I would have been having a panic attack at that point. But it calms you down on the way in. It does make a big difference. Oh, you had horrible teeth as a kid too. It's so cruel, isn't it? I look back at pictures. You know the pictures of the kids around the time of the Moors murder?
Yeah.
And you see the pictures. And they've all got like what you would consider today to be like wonky teeth. Mm. But back then it was just like, they were just people. And you didn't judge them based on that. Good evening, Simon. How are you doing? I wasn't there all the time, Kim, thankfully. I did have a decent dentist when I was really young. Mum determined I wouldn't be frightened of the dentist like she was. That didn't end well. But I wasn't as bad as she got until I got to about 12. And at that point, no, wasn't going back. It was as bad as that. I see we've still no sign of the lesser spotted iMac.
No.
No, another week goes by. But in terms of delivery options, they're now like 3 months. So there's got to be something coming, but when? Oh, come on, Timmy. I know he wants to put a bigger gap between WWDC and actually mentioning it. Maybe the general public will have forgotten that it's not a good idea to buy it because there's new silicon coming out. But, you know, you might be in a position where you've got to buy it. I could well get to that position the way things are going with mine. But nothing yet. Nothing yet. Oh, and who's done the Spotify update? Do not dash off and do it if you haven't. Spotify's broken on iOS. Badly. And this was something that we talked about in the last week, I think. What's happening is, and it's not just Spotify. It's Spotify, TikTok. I think the other is Snapchat. Is there a list? Did it give you a full list? Let's have a look. Nope, those are the only ones that are mentioned. But I believe there's up to 50 apps involved in this debacle. And what's causing the problem? So you update your Spotify, you try and open it, crashes. Same with TikTok and all of the others. And the problem is the Facebook SDK. Now, you might think to yourself, why would that cause a problem in Spotify if I'm authenticating with my own account rather than Facebook? But obviously, the app has to have the Facebook SDK within it for people who are authenticating with Facebook. And it's the second time this year. It's knackered. Technical term there. It literally is causing apps to crash before you can even log in. You can get the app open if you go into airplane mode. Obviously, Spotify doesn't work well in airplane mode, unless you've already downloaded the music to your device. Luckily, I read the story before I did today's updates. So the one app on my phone that I have not updated is Spotify.
And I only update once in a blue moon.
Yeah, I actually made the point of going into Mike's office today and saying, excuse me, you've not done the Spotify update, have you? I didn't think you would have done that. I didn't. But I thought it was worth mentioning just in case, you know, it was that one day in the month when you were actually contemplating it.
The time of the month, you mean?
Yes. and it was broken. It's not good. So they're mentioning it, TikTok for you. I'd have thought Spotify was a bigger crisis. Spotify has its moments, but not being able to open it at all on mobile would be catastrophic for some people. I will never know why people think it's a good idea to build in the Facebook SDK. I guess muggles might think, oh, I'll log in with Facebook, it'd be easier. But, and they can't really, like, it depends what precisely the problem is. But it would make sense if you were building it in to avoid this kind of problem if you checked first whether the person is already logged in or not. And then at least it wouldn't unceremoniously crash. But it may be that the Facebook SDK has to load in a certain order and it's crashing before we can all get that far. That could be really bad for people. And it's one of those circumstances where I just say again, why can't I roll back, Apple? Before I updated last night the iWork update apps, first thing I did, make a backup copy of the ones that were installed. 9 times out of 10, I've never needed to roll back, except once. And they broke the links. And it was broken for 9 weeks. So I rolled back on another machine. And then when I needed to put some links in, I put it in on that machine and then took it back to the new one. So if the links were already there, it was fine. But you couldn't add any more. So I had to go back to the other one. It is stupid. There should be. I mean, it is possible, but only in really limited circumstances. So we know it's possible. If you go into the App Store, now, if you're on Catalina Mojave, you probably won't see it. But on the machine that I've got that is too old to take anything but High Sierra, you can go into the updates and I've got one app that says incompatible update. And when you click on it, it's remote desktop. And it's the updated version that is available will only install on Mojave and higher. So this High Sierra one won't take it. But the thing was, when I came to set up this machine, High Sierra, I wanted to install remote desktop. Obviously, I access every machine in the house with remote desktop. Very seldom we have to do the old sneak a shuffle to go and find a machine, it's always remote desktop. So when I came to install it, it said, you can't install this, it's incompatible with your operating system. Do you want to install the last compatible version? Well, yeah, of course I do. So I clicked that. So the same happens with iOS. So if there is a situation where an update comes out and it breaks it, I would dearly love to know why you can't roll it back to the previous version. It is definitely possible to have more than one version there and do some kind of comparison with it in certain circumstances. And the fact that the app won't run would seem to be a good circumstance to do that with to me. Instead of which, what's going to have to happen is they're going to have to sort it all out. And at some point, a new version will be released. If you have the DOF one installed, obviously you're going to jump on that because it'll solve the problem. But if you've been intelligent and you haven't installed it, you were wise enough to get the notification first. And, you know, it could have just as easily happened to me. Because sometimes you just, update all the apps. Update. And I didn't this morning until I'd seen this story. But if you haven't, like I haven't, and it tells me there's an update to Spotify, how am I going to know whether it's the one that fixes the problem or not? Because I can see what they're going to do. They're going to be there and they're going to be like, oh, we won't mention that in the release notes. Nobody wants to know that. At the moment, I've got two updates. So one of them's got to be Spotify because I've not done that. Their release notes always say the same thing. We're always making changes and improvements to Spotify. To make sure you don't miss a thing, just keep your updates turned on. Bug fixes and improvements in this version include fixed stability and performance issues. But I have no idea whether that is an update to the one that I didn't install earlier today, or whether it's the original one which will cause the problems. Who knows? Who knows? So that was today's little bit of excitement. Don't think anything else has happened on the Mac app front so far. I had great fun with iWork, but more on that at 9 o'clock because it's Two Show Friday. We normally mention it being Two Show Friday at the beginning of the show, but given that we were on Brooklands at the time and still are, let's not worry about it. It's Two Show Friday. Thought I'd just say it. There's also an update out to Spotify for the Mac. Probably leave that one well alone as well. And there's supposed to be an update out to the ITV, which I definitely don't want. Crying out loud. What's happened with it? It seems to have reset itself. But nothing new, particularly not my iMac. Wanted my iMac. At least wanted to see what it was like. Would they release it with just a press release if they've actually changed the form factor? There's something to consider. If they hadn't changed the form factor, I could definitely see it just being a press release. But seeing as though rumour has it that they have, need to think about that. I'm thinking if they'd changed the whole look of it, maybe it would have been nice at WWDC, but no, they're not going to do that, not with new chips on the way. Oh, well, never mind. Just have to wait. Will it be next week? Something to look forward to next week. I think it's going to have to be sooner rather than later because no one can get an iMac at the moment. I actually said to Mike, you know, like if you had one iMac and it died a death on you and you went to the Apple store, would you get one? But there again, they just seem to be closing down willy-nilly. So who knows? You thought you saw the Facebook SDK being fixed. Maybe the Facebook SDK has, but it's going to depend on whether you can actually safely install the app or not. It's a bit dangerous, that, especially on a Friday. Having said that, aren't they all checked in India? And I think they're hours ahead, so it would actually be Saturday there. I'm sure we'll hear all about it. As people vent. But you know, this isn't the first time it's happened. It's the second. And that's just this year. I know it happened last year, but it's happened twice so far, which is twice too often, to be honest. And when will the app I mean, can you imagine how many people are getting in touch with Spotify and with TikTok and with Snapchat? They're not bothering Facebook, are they? Because it's not the Facebook app that isn't running. It's other people's apps. It's an unholy mess that Facebook really need to get off their backsides with and sort out. But you know Facebook. Like I know Facebook. They just seem to can't be bothered. Can't be bothered. Do you know there's been another funny story in the paper this week, Mike? Have you seen it?
No.
Well, on the news. This MP?
No.
There's been a Tory MP. Now, if you're in the UK, how would you describe the Tories? No swear words. The party of law and order and decorum. Think Jacob Rees-Mogg. All double-barrelled they are, with Eton Educations behind them. But the story's been rumbling on that there was this MP. Now, I'm presuming he's not a sitting MP. Please tell me he's not a sitting MP. Former MP, there we go. He lectured a young parliamentary worker not to blab after he'd sexually assaulted her. Apparently it was like a sketch from the Benny Hill show. And once he'd run round and sexually assaulted this woman, allegedly. Actually, person. I don't know if it's a woman. Person. Allegedly. He then ran round saying, "I'm a naughty Tory." Couldn't make it up. That's a good description, Simon. The party of me, me, me. Have you seen this story? It's just got worse every day. It started off with "I'm a naughty Tory," and now it's got on to the fact he's been unhappily married. Yeah, I think if you're playing away, you'll find that those at home aren't keen on that. Just saying. It's embarrassing. But for the fact that the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing is rumbling on this week, that would be all over the tabloids. He wants to consider himself incredibly, incredibly lucky. Politicians. Why do we have them? Let's get rid of them. Let's get rid of them, I say. Power equals corruption. You're not kidding. Who is it? It's a guy called Charlie Elphick. I'll put the link in. I mean, this is day five of the fiasco. It's been rumbling on all week. Oh, it was a she. There you go. How she and former Dover MP were chatting over a drink, and then he put his arm around her and told her that he liked her. Oh, for crying out. I'm not going to read the rest out. You can read it yourself. But really? What is it with these people? There are no words. There are no words for that gross, indecent level of hypocrisy. Not to mention anything else. Oh, I want to have more tech to talk about, and then I don't want to talk about idiots like that. They must think they just have a right to anything and everything that they set eyes on. I don't understand it. I absolutely do not understand it. I would be going out in one of those diving suits that we were talking about. Full regalia. You know, never mind 1 metre. Let's say 100. Get out of me way. And these people are touchy, touchy, feely, feely. Admittedly, it's before the COVID thing. But I don't think it would stop them. I really don't. An EasyJet are using the sickness record of staff to decide job cuts. Because people are going to get sacked. Thing is, as long as they use the same comparison for everybody, they can choose to do it however they want. I've seen that done before, where they want to get rid of a certain person, so they have a look across like the five different categories that they could look at. So it could be like, you know, revenue generated or holidays taken or illness. As long as they use the same comparison for everybody, that's legal. And if you know, you are absolutely brilliant with everything, but your sickness record isn't good, then you're gone, irrespective. And it's not illegal. I didn't like employment law, Mike.
No.
No. Didn't like family either. I was all right with crime, but the rest of it. I would say it was a license to print money, but it was a license to do what you like, basically. Anyway, as I say, it's Two Show Friday, and we've got lots coming up later, which means we're going to have to go and get ready for later. given the night we've had so far with the tech, doesn't it, Mike?
Mm.
So, shall we say goodbye to everybody in Brooklands? Hope you've enjoyed the show. As I said, the news will be on later, won't it? And music and things.
Yes.
Should we put Neil on to calm them?
Yes.
Let's put Neil Diamond on to calm them. But for the moment, because we're going to be back in an hour, but for the moment, it's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
And we'll see you very soon, guys.